Our next guest is a gentleman that went from baseball to hockey himself with very little downtime in between. Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets joining us right now. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, guys. How has your season been?
Well, so far not too bad. You know, we're extraordinarily busy this time of the year with high school football and, of course, the Cavs starting up, the Indians running wild as well. Mm-hmm. We brought you on to talk some hockey, but before we get in to some puck stuff, I want to ask you what you think about Trevor Bauer starting game one instead of Corey Kluber for the Tribe. Any thoughts on that?
Well, listen, it's hard to doubt Terry Francona because he's had a pretty good touch with this team. Trevor Bauer, as you know, he and Danny Salazar are both kind of coming up through Columbus near about the same time, and you could see that both had tremendous upside. And I always thought, and I was in the minority, that Bauer may wind up having a better career, who knows, because once he figured out how to get out of his own head, his stuff, his arsenal, his ability is so, so good. And what you've seen since the All-Star break is the potential of Trevor Bauer. It's as good as just about anybody out there. Now, is it Kluber-level good? I don't know, but what a luxury it is for the Indians to be able to basically throw a dart at their starting rotation and put anybody in there in game one and feel pretty good about having the better of the starting pitching matchup.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You're right, because, look, I think every Indians fan is extremely confident going into this series, regardless of who they play, and to what you just said, regardless of who they start in game one also,
yeah.
Because there aren't many that seem to be too taken back by the idea that Kluber's not throwing game one, instead throwing game two. But we're obviously very, very excited for Thursday. You, I'm sure, are very excited for Friday, because that's when the Blue Jackets will drop the puck for the first time this season. The NHL begins tomorrow, but obviously with the Jackets, very high hopes going into this season, considering what went down last year.
Well, yeah, you know, a 50-win season obviously was tremendous for the Jackets. They were able to put together 108 points. Crazily, it was only good for third in the Metro Division. But it was a division that was so, so competitive. Obviously, Pittsburgh went on to win their second straight Stanley Cup. And, you know, the first-round loss was disappointing, obviously, because Sergei Bobrovsky did not play his best hockey in the playoffs. And then he has acknowledged that. The Jackets had a ton of scoring chances against Pittsburgh in all of those games. I think they had the better of the scoring chances. But with the firepower and the pure top-end talent of the Penguins, when they had their opportunities, they cashed them in. And the Jackets didn't as often, as that was kind of the difference in that series. But there's no shame in that, because Pittsburgh went on to make some other really good goalies look pretty pedestrian through the playoffs. So you wipe that away now, and you get into the new season. And for the Jackets, they were one of the youngest teams in all of the National Hockey League a season ago. This year, their average age might actually be younger, because I think there are going to be four rookies that are going to be on the opening day roster. So there's a lot of youth. With that comes exuberance. Also comes maybe some ups and downs and mistakes and things of that nature. But the high-end capability of this team, wow, it has the ability to be even better than the team was last year, even if they don't finish with as many wins or points.
Ryan, you mentioned some of those young guys coming up playing for the Blue Jackets. You've been watching them through the preseason. Who are some of those young guys who could make a mark here early for the Blue Jackets?
Well, Sonny Milano, who fans in Cleveland are very familiar with, probably had the most notable camp of anybody. He only played four games for the Jackets last year, and you really didn't notice him all that much. Sonny is a guy who has always had high-end offensive capabilities, but he has to round out his game. John Tortorella's mantra last year, and it was up on the wall, safe as death. But that only is true up to a point. If you're playing with total reckless abandon, you know, you're not out there one-on-one with a goalie all the time. You're a part of the team, so you have to kind of stay within the structure of the system. But Sonny has the ability to make magical plays. Mm-hmm. He also has to develop in the area where he takes care of his responsibilities defensively and doesn't always have the mindset that I always have to make a play on this shift. This shift can be a part of keeping the other team from scoring this time around, or possessing the puck and maybe burning some time off the clock. So he's got a lot of growth to do in those areas, but his passing ability, You can YouTube, Google the highlights from Sonny Milano. You can see his stick handling ability and things of that nature. But he looked really, really good in camp. And, you know, Josh Anderson not being there opened the door for him and also for Pierre-Luc Dubois a little bit, who has also been tremendous in camp. But and we can talk about that more later. But I think Sonny is the guy, I think, that stood out more than any of the young players just by virtue of having the opportunities to be there and grabbing a hold of him when he did in preseason games.
Yeah, I think a lot of Cleveland Monsters fans are excited to see what he can do in Columbus, certainly. You mentioned Josh Anderson. Of course, they finally came to terms with him today. He's got a three-year deal now worth $5.55 million. What were your thoughts, or I guess I shouldn't say what were your thoughts, but what's the word on him? Is he going to be returning to the lineup? He missed preseason this year.
Well, John Tortorella said he's not going to play Friday. Jarmo Kekäläinen said he's not going to play Friday. There's just too much to catch up on, really. He's not here yet. He'll be in the coming days. Mm-hmm. But they want him to – basically, he'll dictate, and not through his words, but through what they see from him when he is eligible to play. You know, John Tortorella talked to the media today, said that when he is capable of helping us win, he'll be in the lineup. And they'll have to judge that based upon when he gets to town, when they see him skate, how he fits into the structure. You know, in the media day at the very beginning of camp, when the holdout kind of began, they said that, you know, that it's going to be next man up here. And really, for some of those young guys that we already talked about, Milano and Dubois, there was an opportunity there to maybe make a mark that might not have been there had Anderson not been in camp. And they both stepped up pretty well. So Josh, the Jackets just a little while ago released the opening day roster. Anderson is on it, but he's not going to play Friday. The Jackets have a back-to-back right out of the blocks. They have the Islanders in town on Friday. Then they go to Chicago on Saturday. Is it possible that he would play that Saturday game? Maybe. I don't know. Then there's a couple of days off before they play Carolina on October the 10th. But they want Josh Anderson to be a part of this team. You know, from the management standpoint, they said today, there's no hard feelings. It's a contract negotiation, and you have to be able to compartmentalize that. Once you're a part of the team again, and he is as of today, you're a part of the team, and it's everybody pull the rope in the same direction.
I mentioned guys being a part of the team. One of the guys who's a newer addition to the team was Artemi Panarin in the trade with the Blackhawks. Brandon Saad goes back to Chicago. What have you seen from him in the preseason here? Has he been getting a little more comfortable with his line?
Boy, I tell you what, he is fun to watch. I traveled with the team to Nashville the other day for the penultimate preseason game, and it went to a shootout. And the move he put on Pecorine to put in his shootout goal was outstanding. He's going to skate on the line with Alexander Winberg in the center and Cam Atkinson on the other wing. And, boy, they have meshed quickly. You know, they played basically two full games together, and there's so much talent on that line. Wenberg's a guy who the Jackets have been begging to shoot the puck more and more and more. When you have Panarin on one side and Atkinson on the other side, they may be asking him to pass more and more and more. Although John Tortorella said the other day he would like to see that group maybe pass a little bit less and be a little bit more selfish when you have a shot, take it, because there is so much danger in the shot of Panarin and Atkinson. And Wenberg can score as well. So the answer is he has fit in very, very well. And he is such a high-end talent. He's had at least 74 points in each of the last two seasons since coming over from Russia, when the Calder 2 years ago. He has a lot of talent. And the Jackets' power play, back to last year, it was so good early. It was the top power play for the first month, month and a half, but finished about middle of the pack. With Panarin on the power play, I think that gives it a huge leap forward in that first group.
We're talking to Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Following you on Twitter, I saw earlier today you mentioned that you're taking fan questions for players during your intermission interviews. Who's your first guest this Friday, and what kinds of questions do you have lined up that you're able to share with us?
Well, we're in the process. I'm going to try and grab Jack Johnson maybe, and that's we're just asking the fans to tweet at CBJ Radio or at me, Ryan Mitchell 75, if they have questions for the players. And you know, a lot of folks want to know how they spend their time off the ice, or you know, their favorite memories and things of that nature. So last year we did this inside the CBJ segment in some of the intermissions where we try and get to know the players a little bit off the ice. And we talk to them about hockey, but, you know, we want to talk about how they got here, where they came from, what they do away from the rink. And so those are the kind of questions that a lot of fans have. And so as we do those interviews, we'll try and sprinkle those in as time allows and things of that nature, because we do have a time limit, obviously, during the intermission. But it's just a fun way for the fans to get involved and maybe get their question asked to one of the CBJ players as we talk to them during the intermissions.
Great stuff. Well, I know during one of those intermissions last year, you had our very own Tim Alcorn on, and somehow, some way, the question slipped in there about what a big fan of pie he is. So I enjoy tuning into the intermission reports because you just never know what you're going to hear. Well, best of luck at the beginning of this season, my friend. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. We're certainly checking with you periodically, and boy, this is the beginning of a long road ahead, but certainly a fun road ahead too as the season begins on Friday.
Yeah, it's an interesting time of the year because the Jackets are starting things up. The Indians are hopefully wrapping up what could be a road to a World Series championship. They were so close last year. And, it's just a time where you almost need three or four TVs to keep track of everything that's going on. But whenever you have a mind to talk CBJ or Indians or whatever, I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Awesome stuff, Ryan. We appreciate it as always, my friend. Best of luck on Friday.
Thanks, guys.